CliffCentral.com.
Advertising people are some of the smartest, most creative, wisest people I know. Like, truly. Money is a recreatable asset. Time isn't.
Boom.
Time isn't. Isn't.
With G-Man and Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com. Shots fired.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
Boom.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
G-Man.
Is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
If you're in a South African advertising agency, your third bottom line has undeniably got to be the development of black talent and the transformation of your agency. Maybe we're spending a little bit too much money on awards and not enough money on training and transformation.
G-Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com. Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Hello. What's up? It's your boy G-Man, the Ad Man, and we're back at it. You can hear that. That was quite a start, right? Because I'm having one of those technical days again. But I got this. I'm on top of this. It's your boy G-Man, the Ad Man, and yeah, we're back. It's been another week of advertising. Well, yeah, it's just been another week of us doing some dope things. There's a lot of ads that came out in this past week. You know, but how's your week been? You know, how's your advertising week been? I know that we've also come to that part of the year where, you know, people are starting to discuss that beautiful thing, you know, skeleton stuff. You know, for those of you who are still new to the game, their conversation is coming. There's a conversation that happens around about this time where if you have not put in your leave, right? So there's a very beautiful thing that's about to happen where, you know, in fact, if you're an intern / junior, you know, like, this is not even a conversation that concerns you because you're going to be skeleton stuff. You know, like you're going to be at the agency when everyone kind of, you know, who has booked leave because they're smarter than you is going to be out in Durban. And what's that other place? What's the other place that white creatives go to? Plet. Yes. They're going to be out in Plet, and they're going to be sending you photos. They're going to be dropping photos of themselves in Plet. And you're going to be in the studio. Waiting for the client to send changes to the stings and squeeze bags. Waiting for the client to send changes to the radio spots. But you're the only one there, so you're gonna be doing some work. So it's your boy, G-Man the Ad Man, and we're back at it. Yeah, remember once again, I am on Twitter, so hit me up on Twitter. It's at Blaxem, it's at BLAXEM on Twitter, or at CliffCentral.com. If you've been following me on social media, you also know that. I've got a guest coming through. He's not here yet, but you and I can vibe a little bit until he gets in. We can have a bit of a chat. Remember once again that we have a WhatsApp number, right? So guys, engage. You know, engage in. And maybe you want to wait for that guy to get you, and I'll start with some of the news, and you can tell me exactly what it is that you think. But engage on WhatsApp as well. That's that number is 079-748-2090. So send me those WhatsApps. I mean, I don't feel like I need to remind you guys anymore that don't call that number. You know, that's the WhatsApp number. I think maybe you might actually be able to drop us like a voice note or something. I mean, I'm just saying that because I just think I've heard it on other platforms, and that could be a thing. But yeah, drop us a voice note, but don't call us. You know, no one likes a WhatsApp phone call. It's just strange for people, for everybody. But also there's actually a number you can call, right? So if you want to give us a phone call, if you want to chat, actually see the dude is here. If you want to give us a chat, a call, 0861-555-189. That's 0861-555-189. Yeah, it's your boy, G-Man the Ad Man. And you know, first of all, you know what I want to do? I want to shout out Isaac, ladies and gentlemen. Lebogang Rastawa is in this too. yeah, running over 2-3 minutes late. But it's fine. We'll introduce him properly later. Let him catch his breath. It's rough out here, Papa. Anyway, yeah. So I think what you want to do is, oh yeah, I wanted to shout out my people in Cape Town. Shout out to all the Cape Town creatives. Shout out to all the creatives and all the people from Cape Town who come out here and do big things. You know, it's like when you talk about PSL players who leave Cape Town teams, come up here and it's tough. But you know, I'm almost always proud of the fact that, you know, the guys, Cape Town creatives come up here, you shoot up here in our beautiful locations, because you don't always have a mountain in the background, and you come here and you shoot some beautiful things, and you make it work, man. So huge shout out to the homies out there, homies like Mr. Chabulani Sikege, you know, out there doing some big things. So big up to you guys. Also, you know, I also wanted to say huge shout out to the Durban creatives, man. You know, I feel like Durban advertising doesn't get as much love as it should. You know, it's almost like, you know, everyone kind of thinks that advertising only happens in Joburg and in Cape Town. But there's a whole bunch of other towns that are doing advertising. You know, it might seem like it's on a smaller scale, but you know, I know some guys down there in Durban doing some big things. You know, I think that guys like the niche guys, homies like the guys at Hardy Boys, you know, Ogilvy Durban, all those cats. So guys, huge shout out to you guys. I think that you guys are doing some big things, and we have to shout you guys out. So hit me up. I also know that I've got dope loyal listenership in those parts of town. So I figured I'll just shout you guys out and say what's up to you guys. But yeah, you know what I'm gonna do? Like what I do every day, or what I do every weekend, every Wednesday. We do the news, right? But I want to introduce my guest first, right? And then what we're going to do is we're going to go through some of the stuff that's happened in the past week, some of the stuff that's happening in advertising, and you know, and then we'll get into him and what he does. And you should see this guy, yeah, he's still catching his breath. So what I'm going to do now, just need to fix one or two technical things here to get my quick play up here, so that I can still keep giving you guys those beautiful things like the sound effects. Yes, we're back. We're here. So some of you might know this guy from you know, social media. You know? Some of you might know him from social media, but some of you also, like, I mean, if you've been anywhere around anything that kind of says filmmaking, anything that kind of says we're creating beautiful pictures, we're telling amazing stories, then you must know this cat. And I think that it's one of those things that is one of those guys that, you know, you kind of feel like, you know, even though you've never met him, you know, because you've seen him in a whole bunch of things. But yeah, I mean, I think most of you might kind of get a sense of who I'm talking about right now. But in the studio with me today is Mr. Lebogang Rastama. What's going on?
What's up, man? Good to be here. Sorry I'm late.
No. It's fine. I mean, there are people who have been later. Don't you worry.
Yeah, this place is fun, man. Like,
you want to speak into the mic, Lewis? You see, okay. Guys, this is what happens. Lewis hangs around with rappers. You know what I mean? So they have a different relationship with microphones. You know what I mean? It's just like, yeah, I know. That's fine. Let's just put it here to the side. You know, I actually saw one of those things. That, you know, when they said, white people, if you could ask black people anything. And someone said, black people, what kind of accuracy do you get when you shoot a gun to the side? Like, for me, it feels like exactly
gotta,
that.
You just got to look good, man, even though you don't sound good. You know, like, just talking to the mic, like, basically, like, yeah, share like this microphone, you know what I'm saying?
What's up, Papa? What's going on?
I'm good, man.
What are you up to? What did you pull you out of, my man? I know you're a busy man. What's on your desk right now? You know, talk to me.
So, at the moment, I'm finishing a documentary called The People Versus Patriarchy.
Oh, yeah?
Which is a follow up to People Versus the Rainbow Nation.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I was literally like editing that before I came here, and I'm also working on a new Nike commercial
for, oh hello,
yeah, so there's a bunch of shit going on.
Are we allowed to swear here? Of course we're allowed to swear here, but this is
the internet. Okay. This is the internet. Okay. Yeah, so that's those are keeping me really busy.
Yeah,
but I'm glad I made it here.
Yeah,
thanks
dope.
For having me.
I'm glad you're here, man. But it seems like you're doing big things. I mean, you know, like you're working with obviously like big brands like Nike, but at the same time, you know, you're also working on documentaries. Do you find that, you know, there's some kind of balance that you have to strike? Like, how much of the commercial work and how much of the hard work?
Well, that's the thing. I kind of have to do both. Because they both feed such different parts of me.
That's right.
So I think the advertising, I think the, and you often hear me talk about the amount of resource available in advertising.
That's right.
The creative, also just like the money that's being spent in advertising,
yeah.
And also the
the best, you know, the cinematographers, the stuff, the
that's
resource.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
And that, and technically, you it just makes you so much stronger.
Yeah.
And so much sharper and so much incisive in your storytelling. But on the flip side, you know, what I really want to do is I want to make documentaries, but I want to make documentaries like that are as beautiful, as technically strong, yeah, as commercial. So, but on the flip side, I also want to make commercials that are as kind of real and, yeah, as heartfelt as my documentary. Absolutely. So I need to be constantly making both things. I need to work across the medium constantly because they both need each other. They both feed each other.
Yeah, that's dope, man. I like that. I like that a lot because it's exactly that, right? We always all kind of bring ourselves to all the mediums that we kind of use, right? So, yeah, so and for kind of the storytelling elements that live in documentary making, yeah, and the realness, like you said, no, it would be really cool for that to start coming through in commercials because that way when people start dancing in, yeah, an advert, you say, guys,
let's not do, yeah, that. That's not, yeah. So yeah, so I mean I think if you were to just look at the advertising in South Africa, and if you just were to just like charge it with a sense of like realism,
yeah,
then I think, you know, I think, yeah, everybody wins.
That's right.
All of a sudden you start to see stories, even if it's like a soup ad or, yeah, whatever they're, yeah, selling, fucking washing powder.
Yeah.
But if the first 17 seconds of the ad, because you know there's got to be like another.
Yeah, there's that other part.
It was just a product. But in those minutes, what if you could just spend a little bit more time, I don't know, just trying to work harder to reflect people, yeah, in a way in which they truly understand themselves.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I mean, they also bring out, like quite an important point for me where, like, you know, there's the structure, you know, the structure, yeah, the normal structure of the ad is, yeah, you know, there's that 17 seconds, yeah, and then there's the, yeah, you know, because I also think that, you know, things like introducing realism and all that could actually help make that all feel like one story, yeah, you know, like, because, you know, like, you're trying to make people feel like, you know, the brand and themselves kind of live together because that's what they do. Mm. But if we keep separating these stories, if we keep kind of going, and then we do the product demo at the end.
It's so interesting. So I recently shot an advert for some brand in Nigeria.
Yeah.
And the whole ad was in Pidgin.
Right.
The VO was in Pidgin. But, yeah, then when we did the product call to action, yes, thing, yes, that was all done in the Queen's English, yeah.
That's crazy shit.
And I was like, and I kept on saying, why are we separating, yeah, the two? They're like, well, no, because when you speak to the brand part, the brand promise, yeah, that has to be esteemed.
In Queen's English, yeah.
Yeah, but then when you do the normal,
that's crazy, like, shit,
interaction with, yeah, the product, that's, yeah, in Pidgin. And just that separation is what you're talking about, yeah, is that maybe there's an opportunity to start thinking of them as one thing.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah. No, I've always believed that because, you know, like it feels like you're trying to say, you know, like, you know what it's like for me. There was I'm trying very hard also not to diss other ads because, you know, on the show, yeah, it's tough. It's tough. Yeah,
but also because, Grant, as people who both work in advertising, we, yeah, also understand. I think we also shouldn't be full of shit and like. Yeah. Be on some pedestal because we understand how tough it is.
Oh, man. And
we both know how hard it is when the client wants their thing and you're like, yeah, give them the fucking,
oh,
thing.
Man, there's a thing I always say on this show. We all completely understand that bad ads happen to good people all the time. Bad ads happen to good people all the time. So yeah, we can't sit here and pretend, yeah, that we all always,
and we have the
shit,
answers. Yeah, we have all the answers. No, we don't.
Yeah, but that's why we don't diss bad ads too much. Because the next brief that lands on your table, yeah, might be a thing.
Yeah.
And you're in an edit and the client, yeah, says, yo, you know, Grant, I think it works, but fuck, like a little dance, eh?
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, but my man, I thought we spoke about this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, but the only way you're gonna get signed off is if this guy, you know, does a little jig.
Yeah.
So we don't diss people here.
And I mean, also there's also something that I find quite interesting about advertising, which, and I don't know if I can speak freely.
Yeah, speak freely, sir.
It's about there's a certain level of classism.
Yeah.
There's a certain ads that like we as like, and I don't know, yeah, like better blacks, informed,
that's right,
blacks,
that's
you,
right,
guys,
that's right,
that can like understand nuance.
He said it, guys, not me.
and if you think about, then because they're coming with like market research.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they're like, yeah, well, look, we researched and tested and this,
yeah,
and that test, and people love to see,
yeah, people dancing. Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know. I also don't know how do we navigate that. Where,
yeah,
it's just like, look. There are. I mean, there's some ad that was like really terrible recently. I can't remember it.
Was it Custard?
I don't even know if it was around the custard era. It was around the custard era.
There was a custard era.
Let's say the custard is the president of all those ads. Yeah. So this one would be like a minister of the ads.
The MEC.
And that ad tested beautifully.
Yeah.
People really loved it.
People really love that shit.
Even, and I think maybe that's just something that we also just need to interrogate a little bit more, that when we say it's misrepresenting our people,
who are those people we're talking about?
We're such a small 1%.
Yeah.
That, like, maybe if the broader majority loves it, I hear you.
You know, it's a conversation we could have for a very long time, because, you know, I always keep saying that, like, you know, advertising needs to also understand its role in society and, like, culture, because you're always, like, kind of shining a mirror on society, right? And almost kind of also going, you know, I was once told in a meeting that, like, people lead shit lives. You know, like, people generally just lead, like, shit lives, and they watch TV to kind of escape, right? To go to this other world where you're not dealing with your creative director who's an ass. You know what I mean? You're there and you can escape to generations land, you know? And ads also have a responsibility to kind of show people what they're capable of, and to kind of give people a sense of hope in what they can be. You know, so it's very easy for me to show you who you are right now, but I also feel like advertising has a responsibility to make me see what I could be. Do you know what I mean?
Do you genuinely believe that?
I really do. I genuinely actually believe that.
I think, see, and this is maybe one of another big problem.
Yeah.
And this is what I want to challenge you on a little bit here, why does advertising have a mandate to make people?
You see, I don't think it's a mandate per se. I do think that it has a responsibility.
Why?
Because I feel like it's also how people walk away seeing these messages, and those messages have an impact on how people feel about themselves.
Fine.
You know, and that's everything.
Fine.
You know, like, it's like when there are days when you can watch a movie that's got a shitload of violence because your mindset at the time is okay, you're not going to be affected by it. Yeah. But then there's some days you switch on your TV and you see something, you know, with a lot of bumping, and you're like, I don't want to see this shit today. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I think that because that kind of affects how you're feeling that day, it feels how you're feeling about yourself.
Yeah.
And the more we start building, you know, frequent messaging that starts to feel like our people are just dancers.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the said campaign of custard, and that was my biggest gripe with it, is that there was a white people execution, there was a black people execution, colored people execution.
Yeah.
The colored people and the white people executions, people were having conversations.
Yeah.
You know, people were talking about Tupperware. People were talking to each other because supposedly that's what white people do. But we just dance. Do you know what I mean?
Wasn't there also like a lot of black backlash in the colored, and I'm not sure about the stereotyping of colored people in Tupperware.
But you see what I mean? Like, so then, like, what we're saying is you're either gonna keep perpetuating that stuff,
fine,
or you have a kind of responsibility, just like even and maybe not like the responsibility that the politicians have, you know, to kind of use the analogy of presidents and MECs. Yeah. But I think we have a kind of a responsibility to have a view on how people can start seeing themselves.
I buy that.
Do you know what I mean? Boom. Yeah. I'm gonna high five myself on that one. Nothing wrong.
Selector.
Oh, crazy shit. Guys, it's your boy G-Man, Ad-Man. I'm still hanging out with LeBron Rastama. Hit me up on Twitter. It's at Blacksim. It's at BLAXEM. I already got a tweet from Kori Mutobi. Welcome back, Kori. What the hell? She says, I haven't listened to Blacksim's show, G-Man the Ad-Man, in a while, but I'm back, and Lebu the Egg is in the stew. Should be great. So huge shout out to Lebu.
Thank you.
Yeah, why is this Lebu the Egg?
Dude, I have a Twitter profile that I don't know the password to. I'm such a Twitter illiterate.
No. We need to give you some lessons on this shit.
Yeah.
But yeah. So speaking of like, you know, like directors and everything. I don't know if you heard. There's this guy called Piwe SJ Mieza, right? He works for 7 Films, in Cape Town. And he's a finalist at the One Club Young Creatives kind of competition.
Yes.
Right? So out of Cape Town. And I think that's a fucking big deal, man. I mean, huge shout out. Huge shout out to SJ and the guys at 7 Films doing big things out there.
They did Surfshark. Is that the same people?
Yeah. I think it's the same people. The same people. Yeah, yeah. And I think what a big deal, man. I think it's great that we're starting to make, you know, it feels like in advertising, when we speak about creatives, we're mostly talking about people on the agency side, you know. And I think that, you know, for stuff like this to happen on like the director side, and the fact that I feel like there are young directors coming up, is a big deal. Is it as big a deal as I make it out to be, or do you know what I mean? Do you feel like we've always kind of been making those strides?
I mean, I think it is a big deal because and maybe let me personalize it a bit. When I wanted to become a filmmaker, my parents said to me, name, because my parents are both academics. My mom's an attorney, my dad's an economist. So they're like, okay, cool. If you want to do this thing, show me one person who's done it before you that succeeded.
That's doing well.
Yeah, that's doing well. Yeah. That becomes like the measure or the blueprint for whether or not you should do it.
Yeah.
Where that's got like a pedigree.
Yeah.
So, and at the time, I didn't know anybody. And I was like, I think I said Zola Maseko. And my mom was like, that's one.
Yeah.
So I think it's important for just from an industry point of view to get other people to see, you know, like maybe like, I mean, when we look at someone like Teboho Mahlatse, for example, we look at him and go, okay, because he exists, we can.
So that answer becomes easier now.
Yeah, you know exactly. I mean? All of a sudden, then those other guys, like looking maybe, let's say, like Thabang or Teboho Malopo.
Or yourself.
You know, Mpotwala. Yeah. They're all of a sudden going, okay, it's doable, it's achievable. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So all of a sudden, there's like a trickle down effect influence, which is important. So to answer your question in a roundabout way, it is a big deal. It is very important to make it seem like an attainable goal.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? And maybe to back your point that you made earlier, it's about that, like, what the messages that we put out there to the world, how do they affect people? Are they actually like, because it can work on one of two ways. It can, and I always talk to Thabang in particular about this. The messages you put out there in the world, are they inspiring other people to want to be, to actually make it seem like it's doable?
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Is your work leaving people with that impression that, man, I can, and when I talk about work, I talk about across the spectrum, the work that you do, your social media posts, the whole thing, how you carry yourself when you meet people, is all of that making it seem like it's doable?
That's so critical.
That's
man.
So important. Yeah. So maybe the responsibility then isn't necessarily on the actual advert.
Yeah.
But it's on all the moving parts.
Absolutely.
So it's the work. It's the people that are doing the work. It's the crew that you involve. Like when you have an intern on set.
Yeah.
And you look around and you invite an intern to set and they're like cool and they look at all the HODs.
Yeah.
And it's like the cinematographer's white and then the gaffer's white. Then all of a sudden, then the only black person is maybe, say, the director. And then everyone else around is like a sea of whiteness, which is fine. Like, we've already accepted that. And we're kind of making strides to at least have the conversation.
Yeah.
But are we putting the message out there that it's doable?
Yeah, man.
Can we say, as like an advertising industry, from the creative to the brief to the execution to set to the post on social media to the shares, the whole infrastructure, the whole mechanism.
Yeah.
Are we there? Then I can say, yeah, sure.
That's dope. I think that's so hard, man. I think that's critical for me.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, without getting like esoteric about it and all that, because it's all energies, right? Mm. You know, and it's kind of what kind of energy are you building around everything that you do, and how does that leave people feeling? Right, and you're right.
Sure.
That extends to, you know, kind of the tone in which we address things. It speaks to, you know, how we portray people, how we represent ourselves, how we carry ourselves. Mm. It creates an energy. You know, it creates an energy around the work, and that starts to, you know, affect how the work actually inspires people. Mm. So absolutely, I'm thoroughly with you. So huge shout out to SJ Meza, man. I'm hoping that that big things are coming your way. So yesterday I was invited to this thing. Right, there was an event. There's a new craft beer called Bullish. Right, I was invited by the beautiful people at African Star. Shout out to the team, to Fera Fortune's team. You know, they invited me out to say come hang out, come see that they're launching this beer and whatever. But you know, then advertising happened. You know, as it does. You know, and so I wasn't actually able to make it out there, and I actually saw some images, and it looked like it was really dope. You know, so there were some really beautiful people out there. Shout out Kim.
What happened?
But I'm saying there were some really dope people there, and it looked like it was a dope event. I mean, I hate that I couldn't go there, but I mean, the guys at Bullish, if you are listening, just send us some beers. You know, I think Lebo and I enjoy a young beer. Send us some beers and let's test this stuff and so we can talk about something that we know about. But I mean, you know, for me, it's exactly that. You know, like, it's like, you know, there are all these other things that we want to do, and like you just said, you know, there's, for you, there's filmmaking, and then there's, like, you know, there's documentary making, and then there's ad making, and there's like all the other forms of film. Mm. You're right. And sometimes you have to make the hard calls of prioritizing, right? So how does that play out for you? Like, how do you sit there and go, like, for example, if there's a dope, But there's a dope TV ad that's coming up, but you're also in the process of making this big thing, and those timelines kind of clash. Like, how do you manage that? How do you navigate?
Sure,
that?
I think, man, I've made some really good decisions in my career about the type of work that I do, and particularly with myself and my business partner at Arcade, Colin Howard.
Yeah. Shout out Colin Howard. What's going on?
Whenever a brief comes in, we sit down and we interrogate the creative merit of it, and I've made a lot of bad decisions as well. There's some work that I'm like, nah, maybe it's not right. And then there was a point where I started to fail to see the potential in stuff, and I think maybe that's the reality of it, is that when a script comes into a director, it's not necessarily about like what the script is when it comes in. It's really about what, and the first question I ask myself is that, am I going to be able to find my voice in this?
That's right.
What am I bringing to this?
Yeah.
Like, what? How can we make the script really reflect my ideas of the world, et cetera, et cetera? And I think that's kind of the first question that I always ask myself.
That's right.
Like,
yeah.
How am I going to leave myself in this? And if I really just can't find myself, then we generally...
Yeah,
and it's really difficult saying no to work, and I don't like it, but... And sometimes we make the bad call and say no to the right job, and then someone else does it. You're like, why? So there's no like real formula to it. But I do think every morning I ask myself the question: what kind of filmmaker
that's
am
right.
I?
Yeah.
And what am I doing to kind of
to get to that place? To get to that place.
And I think it's just constantly just asking myself that question. And I don't think that I prioritize docus or commercials.
Yeah.
I do both.
Yeah.
You know, like right now, I'm literally making a docu and a commercial.
That's
and
right.
I'll be making another commercial later on in the year. So.
Hey, that's amazing. There's about like 5 weeks left in the year.
I know. I think I've grown up a lot as well. I think I just have a really like I don't know what it was, but I used to have a really like juvenile attitude towards commercials.
What is that? What do you mean by that?
I don't know. Like you know. You make like a couple of cool documentaries, and then all of a sudden you start to like, I don't know, you start to not, I don't think I was like, I don't know, I wouldn't say I was better than advertising, but I did think there's certain things I just wasn't willing to do.
Yeah. Also because, and I think I understand what you're trying to say, because, you know, like, also like, you know, when your artist side comes out, you know, you kind of go, but I mean, am I making art?
Yeah.
You
know and for the longest time, like, I mean, we'd go out for dinner with, like I'd be with my wife and they're like, so what do you do?
Yeah.
And my wife would be like, he works in advertising. I'm like,
no.
I'm a filmmaker. I'm a filmmaker. And she'd be like, no, you're working advertising. and it was such a completely stupid and uninformed because I don't know why I even thought that.
Because
I do work in advertising and I've made some really great adverts with some really great creative minds, with some great cinematographers that have, you know what I'm saying? So the whole attitude towards advertising and this is, I don't know, sometimes
for me, I think there's a very, very important point that you bring up there. That is about the image of advertising.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that, you know, because there's obviously there's a vacuum that we've all been concerned about of like how we're not getting as much talent coming into the game as we should. Because you know, there are people out there who are making films, there are people who are studying but who fall off, right? And one of the debates is that, is it because the image of advertising is not one maybe appealing to the artist, you know, the guy who calls himself like you know, I'm a scholar of the art game, right? Then they're going, but I'll be selling out, you know? Is it that or is it just the fact that we just have not represented the game well enough?
Well, I mean, look, I think some of your favorite like filmmakers and musicians and artists thrive in advertising.
That's
even
right.
If you think about the coolest of coolest people, like Pharrell Williams to Janelle Monáe to fucking like Errol Morris, who's like Michael Bay, all your favorite filmmakers, all your favorite musicians, you know, work in advertising.
That's right. Yeah.
And I think that we just maybe haven't communicated the overlap between art and advertising properly.
That's right.
We
that's
haven't
right,
like
yeah.
articulated it properly.
Yeah.
And we haven't made the two things seem so like mutually beneficial.
Yeah. I think
well
so.
Well enough.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, I think we've let ourselves down in that regard. You know,
yeah.
where it kind of feels like, you know, like someone like you who says that they're able to make kind of documentaries and advertising at the same time, because you kind of, you understand the artistic overlap.
Yeah.
Right? And we just have not represented the reality of that overlap.
My documentaries, fact, wouldn't be as good as they are if it wasn't for advertising.
Boom.
My adverts wouldn't be as good as they are if
it wasn't
for document.
Boom.
Press the button. Press the fucking claps.
This is what happens when you're with the director in the studio. Like, this is where you press the button.
I'll press him. Okay.
I'll press it then. Oh, fuck. That's crazy. So, okay, wait. You know, you've already kind of started touching on Arcade, right? And I think it, like for the people out there who don't know, how did Arcade come about? You know, how did you guys find yourself with Arcade?
I think Arcade and the hardcore truth is that it came about from just the my failure to adapt to advertising
okay.
and the demands of advertising. So yeah. when I came back from
hey man, that's a brave thing to say.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Seriously. Like yeah. I made a couple of ads. And they were like really mediocre, like below par. But I'd made some really cool like documentary and content stuff.
Right.
So people would like want to work with me because of how good my content and documentary stuff was in advertising.
Yeah.
But then when we started translating that to advertising,
it just didn't.
And I guess maybe that's one because, you know, advertising has got of like a lot of systems. It's got a lot of like things that you have to do. A lot of things in place.
That's right.
And I just maybe would like bypass that stuff or wouldn't see the value of it
or I'd
skimp out on certain things.
Yeah.
And I wasn't applying myself properly. And I think then we started looking at Arcade. We started talking and be like, what if there's a way in which we could work where we could strip down the process and just get to the creativity sooner?
Okay. Because
that's the thing with advertising that would like often... just dissuade me.
That's right.
I was like, why do I have to do like there's like
all this
40
other shit.
Stuff
yeah.
that you do before you actually start shooting. I was like, what if we just discuss what the idea is
and then go shoot it. Yeah. Yeah.
And that was but then look at the stuff that makes commercials work and keep some of those in place.
Yeah.
So just some
that's
of
right,
yeah,
right,
some
yeah.
of the stuff that you have to do. So like
yeah.
you know, you don't have to have like 40 pre-production meetings.
Yeah.
You know, maybe
that is only pre-prod.
It's nothing. I'm a pre-prod.
But yeah, pre-prod sandwiches, bro. Yeah.
But you do need to have a pre-production meeting.
Yeah.
So maybe
yeah.
instead of having like five, maybe we can have like one or
that's
two.
That's right. Yeah.
And maybe as opposed to like a line, like, yeah, so maybe what if we could simplify the process?
Yeah. Do you think that sometimes and I've always like just wondered that sometimes the ads that kind of don't resonate is because they've been overthought. Do you think that sometimes in the process of creating we overthink some things?
Overthink, overpromise and undervalue the role of creativity in the process.
That's
you know
right.
I'm saying? I mean, like, okay, so for example, like if you're shooting a massive advert and someone is going to give you like a couple of bar, they're going to want to know what they're going to get out of it.
That's right.
So you have to show them the storyboard and like the shot. But then there's been moments on set where you're like busy setting up for a shot and you're like, whoa, guys, okay, this looks better than what we promised.
Exactly. So let's just do that. And then they're like, but what you promised is that thing in the pre-prod.
And maybe that process is one that maybe... like undermines the process a little bit.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
But then I also understand why you need it as well.
Yeah.
Because no one is going to give you a couple of bar to be like, all right, man, just go.
But you think that's what it is? You know, it's kind of people kind of going, you know, all these meetings are the safety net, you know, for me to protect my investment.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, it means that we can get to spend 2 hours talking about a dress.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're just like, oh, like, to your point, let's just go and shoot. But I understand completely. You know, like, because like clients are also saying, I mean, if this thing fucks out, you know.
Exactly. It's my ass on the line.
Exactly.
Because they've also promised someone else something. So, I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. And I guess maybe the trick is, and that's what we're trying to figure out with Arcade is, what can we do to make sure that no one gets fired and also deliver high creative like premium like work.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we've managed to get it right a few times.
Yeah,
we've also fucked up a lot of stuff as well where we've underthought certain things.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's just like, you see, this is why we needed that premium. This is why we have people. I think if we all were willing to admit a little bit more that we don't have it all figured out, we're all willing to admit a little bit more that we're open to a few more things, then I think that we'd find that like it's that freedom, the way creativity really lives.
I actually agree with that completely. I think that by all, that includes the client. That includes, the clients, the agency, and kind of production houses. Because I feel like sometimes being so rigid in what you know kind of also sometimes gets in the way. You know what I mean? You kind of go, but this is what I know from this and this. And then, but if you allow yourself to get into the conversation about also what's possible, but keep it within the realm of also, like, insane, not getting you fired, but just also, like, entertain the possibility of maybe actually what I can do is think about, like, the possibility of changing that scene.
Yeah.
But then that's when they say, you know what, bro, let's shoot both.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Let's shoot your version, and then we'll shoot my version.
Shoot the safety.
Yeah, exactly.
The safety.
And then you are there all night. You know, then you lost the last shot because you lost the sun.
Yeah. So this is one of the good things about the industry is that there are so many people that are equipped to do certain jobs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And particularly in South Africa where we have like an AD. Who has worked on like feature films, international feature films. You've got our cinematographers that are shooting international feature films.
That's right.
So you've got all these people that are really equipped to do things at a very, very high standard. And that's one of the things that I really love about like advertising is the amount of resource and talent that you're exposed to.
Yeah.
Like that shit is like, now I've got cinematographers that have shot amazing commercials that are willing to work on my documentaries.
That's dope shit.
That are willing to edit my shit. And I'm like, okay, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm getting to hang out with the best because, you know, advertising has access to the best because it has the budget for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's insane shit.
So we just have to figure out a way to like let these worlds like coexist a little bit better, you know?
That's insane. So you know, like I like to ask directors this question because, you know, like Mzee and I have had this conversation a few times about South African work. You know, like, you know, I know you did that documentary. They did a documentary with the Pantsula dancing stuff, right? What was it called again? Remind me.
There's a few.
Yeah, I think the film. Sorry.
There's a few.
But like, you know, the fact that like we talk about South African work, right? And what that looks like and what that feels like. So like, you know, that there are also like the hallmarks and the tick boxes that you kind of go. This is what makes a South African piece of work, right? Mm. Like, do you think that is a hard brief to answer, like for someone to say, I want this thing to be South African without kind of going, I'm making stuff that people feel like they've seen before. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, okay, so there's quite a few things, right? So first of all, I think we've kind of, and maybe a little bit to blame is like us in advertising, is that we've kind of reduced the idea of like South Africanisms to a few like things.
Trademarks.
Yeah, there's a few things, right? Yeah. But on the flip side, we also really undervalue ourselves.
That's right.
South Africans. So
absolutely.
When you see something,
absolutely.
You see something once, and you're like, it's been done.
Yeah.
Let's not do that anymore. It's been done.
Yeah.
But fuck, how many times have you seen like the Statue of Liberty or like just New York just looking cool and no one ever questions like, no one's
why
like,
are they showing that again?
Again, that bridge in San Francisco.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Justice. Miami, that like promenade in Miami.
Yeah.
Like, we don't ever question why.
Joe Man must be loving you right now. The amount of times I've had a conversation with him about it's been done. He's like, no, but that's an obsession that you guys have.
Yeah.
This thing, it's been done. Why? What are you talking about?
The measure for done?
Yeah.
Like, how do we determine? I mean, how many times did you see like graffiti and skateboarding?
Yeah.
From like the 90s to the 2000s, they're like
exactly.
15 years of seeing that shit over and no one ever in that moment was like, and then in South Africa you do skateboarding once, you're like, we've seen it enough. So that's the flip side. But the other side, and I want to go back to the point that I made at the beginning, is that we just need to show more versions of South Africa.
That's right.
And really just be willing to show a dude in the suburbs as someone who's South African, as much as, you know, a dude in four is equally as a dude in four is with a golf tee and True Religions is as South African as a dude which I have as Pantula in fucking Orange Farm. They're both equally South African.
Yeah.
But what we have done is made things one thing more South African than another.
I think that is so hard.
And that's why we keep showing the same things over and over, because we've created a hierarchy of what's
South African and what's not.
Exactly. And if you think about, like, what American Hollywood has done so well is that they've created an entire, like, I don't even know, like, genre of just what it means to be like a white American man.
Yeah.
And there's like a trillion versions of that guy.
Yeah.
And even
if
you think about the astronaut,
yeah,
there's like a trillion versions of the astronaut. There's the drunk one.
Yeah.
There's
the
good dad.
Yeah.
There's the bad dad. There's the all American. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and that's just one guy.
Yeah.
Whereas the Pantula, if you think about the image of a Pantula guy, we're only used to like one version.
Yeah, one
of
version Pantula of that guy. Yeah.
What about the Pantula guy who like lives in Branson but also loves Pantula? And then
that's
the Pantula
right,
guy
that's
who
right.
also is a rugby player.
Yeah.
So we only like we only
yes,
we
I
only
love that story already. We'll shoot that one.
Let's make that film. Rugby player.
Guys, whoever's up there,
we have a shot of a rugby player at Dava is Pantula.
Guys, let's make that one right now.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or any other. So I don't think we are willing to explore the depth of like the nuance of what it means to be South African, because we just
man.
There's a lot of other South African stories that just even the sensitive guy,
that's right,
who
like
goes to a bar and was I cut off?
No, you're not cut off.
Maybe the sensitive guy, and he's just like really sensitive and friendly.
That's crazy shit. You see,
why don't we show like where's that guy in our representation of like what
and, it and not
to
be
South
so
African.
Obsessed with the fact that, you know, a South African and maybe it comes from our history, you know, of Schusterisms. You know what I mean? And you know what? And I'll take the blame for some of that stuff, because, you know, when you kind of go, you know, like the early years of my time in advertising doing Vodacom stuff, you know, there was a brand of kind of what the South African work meant. I mean, I'm glad I didn't work on some of those things. Some of those things. but I was. But I think that I was lucky enough to have been working on the brand when I think it was making the transition. You know, it was making the transition to kind of go, you know, we can still do comedy, but it doesn't have to be Leon Schuster. You know what I mean? And because at some point, you know, the story of the, you know, the funny comes from a black guy and a white guy doing things together, blah blah blah. And you can actually tell a funny story with the same characters, but without playing on those theory, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And without thinking, but the black guy and the white guy have been done.
Yeah.
You know? And I think we get caught up in that, and I think you're absolutely right about that.
Yeah.
That's crazy shit, man. It's crazy. Yeah, man, a lot of shit happens at Arcade. it seems like a lot of thinking happens at Arcade. but I mean, you know, and like shit, we actually don't have a lot more time. But I wanna know, when you kind of touched on how in the beginning, you know, like your folks were just like, Emuna, what the fuck are you talking about? You know, what is it that you think we can be doing better? What is it that you think we can be doing to get both our parents and the kids, right, to understand the value of kind of, I don't want to call it just art, but of what it takes to, or how important it is to be in the space that you're in, to be in the space that I'm in. What like if I give you the brief right now and said, you know, what is it that we should go out there and do? What comes to your mind?
I think first of all, I think maybe what we should do is even that question from my parents, right?
Yeah.
It's like, name one successful filmmaker who's made it, and instinctively I said Zola Maseko.
Yeah.
So the problem with that is creating kind of like it's associating like our ideas of success need to change a little bit more.
Boom.
Right? Because there's also, in the last like 30 years, there's been a lot of black people that have worked in filmmaking.
Yeah.
But just because they weren't Zola Maseko, it doesn't mean
they didn't
make
exist.
It. Exactly.
Exactly.
So
right.
Changing. So even when I look at myself, for example, as like maybe like some, and a couple of my friends as like some like the poster boys of like success.
Yeah.
I think we need to like completely just rethink success for like,
wow,
like, you know, what it means to be a successful black filmmaker or a black person in advertising.
That's right.
And just maybe just write our own rules for what success is.
Oh, fuck, that is hella important.
Then you can start to show advertising as like an entire industry.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because then you can be like, yeah, there's, you can be a sound man. Not everybody has to be a director. Not everyone has to be like Thabang or Leboros Thabo or those guys. They are a bunch of other things that you could do as well
and be a part of the game.
So exactly expand the idea of the game.
Fuck
that. And stop creating, what are those things, tokens? Tokens of success. Because then that is that, and this is the thing of like how your image as a successful person can really like be dishearten someone.
Yeah.
Because then all of a sudden you look at someone and you're like, shit, so if I'm not that,
then that means I'm not successful.
Yeah. So if I'm not Zola Maseko, then I have no chance. So if I'm not directing drum by the certain age, then that means I have no chance. But it's like, fuck, dude. Like, there's so many other instances of like people that have made successes of themselves in the industry that aren't spoken about. Like, there's a lady that like runs like a recording studio downtown.
Yeah.
And they do like voiceovers and stuff. And I met her the other day.
Yeah.
And like just getting those stories out and just like, just absolutely.
I met a lady who does makeup.
I
think her name is Queen. Shout out to you, Queen. I met her that last week.
Yeah.
And like, she does amazing things in makeup, but you never get to hear about that.
Yeah.
Because
it's
just like, you're right. You're waiting to be, you know, like the token. You know, like everyone just feels like the jobs they are important jobs or like the jobs that make what advertising success looks like.
So I mean, if maybe here's like a really crass example. And if you think about like, imagine all let's say straight white males from business school wanted to be CEOs.
Yeah.
There's like, no, there's like, you can be a CFO, you can be all the, in the executive community. There's like, there's a lot of different opportunities that are available for us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And I think it's just, also, here's a thing that I talk about a lot.
Yeah.
And this is like literally like my current obsession.
Yeah.
Is I think, and you can see it when, if you think about like the takedown mentality, there's this myth that's created by capitalism that there's only so much to go around.
Yeah.
So even if you think about like high school and pie charts, the idea of a pie.
Yeah. There are only so many slices.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But there is so much to go around.
That's right.
And one, my success doesn't necessarily impede someone else's success.
Boom.
And I think there's just, for us to just think about that, there's enough for us to go
around,
so and we don't have to keep competing for the same scraps, because you're missing out on the big pie.
Yeah.
If they give you one slice, they're like, that's the only slice that's available for you. You guys all compete for that. It looks like, nah, fuck that. Why can't we compete for the whole fucking pie?
Boom! What do you want? No, I think that's absolutely true, man. Because it feels like sometimes people just say, I'm gonna say about Kwele.
There's enough. And then we can't be happy for each other.
Yeah.
And then you have inter-class violence.
Yeah.
And that's why when you go to like a restaurant as a black person, you wonder why like you get bad service from black people. And they're just looking
because
at you,
they're like,
you are taking my seat.
You're taking up a spot that I should be in.
Exactly.
But there's so many seats.
There's
here,
so many seats available for
us.
Oh,
man. This conversation could just keep going. I'm absolutely with you. And like for me, I ask you that because, you know, and I don't know who did the AAA campaign, right? But I think that, you know, they must have a rationale for it. And I'm hoping that whoever's done it hits me up and we can talk about it. But I think that there's something a little irresponsible about the way they approached that whole thing, because essentially there are billboards that say things like, you know, if maths class taught you how to draw, you know, if being late for school made you, you know, kind of a great negotiator, so that kind of thing, you know, like I think that there's something slightly irresponsible about representing the industry as kind of the place you go to when you couldn't make it in other places. Do you know what I mean? And it's fucked up because we already have this stigma where people are going, you know, our parents are going, is it really a job?
Yeah.
You know, and
how can you learn advertising?
Yeah. How can you learn advertising? And like, who's going to make money from this creativity thing? Mm. And where you think that you're speaking to, you know, people's side of, you know, I'm not going to be an accountant. I'm not going to be a doctor. I should probably go to advertising. Maybe there are people, and I know there are, who actively just go, I want to be, you know, a creative. Mm. And when you represent the industry as a fallback,
yeah,
when you represent the industry,
really good point,
like I'm just like, get the fuck out of here with that
that's
shit.
A really
because,
good point.
Like, if I was a parent who was worried about shit like that, I'm not sending my kid to that.
Yeah,
I'm like, what, Lanya? You're going to do the rejects, tertiary school.
When I was at Vegas. Vega, yeah. there was a lot of kids who were like, yeah, I don't know what else to study.
You know what I mean? And you know what? That might have been your reality because, you know what I mean? Of whatever reason. Yeah. But, you know, we're struggling with some of these things and to represent that or perpetuate that in an ad campaign for an ad school, yeah. I feel like it's a little irresponsible.
Yeah, I'm with that. Yeah.
100%. So, you know, whoever it is that did it out there, yeah, I'm not happy. Yeah, generally, I'm just not happy with the way you're approaching the entire thing. Yeah. Maybe you could just give us your rationale for it. Yeah. But I feel like we have a bigger responsibility. Dude, you won't believe it. We're out of time. Oh, shit. The hour just fucking flies by, man.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I keep lobbying, you know, for more time. But, you know, I feel like time and land.
The boss just walked in.
Yeah.
control, close.
Yeah, exactly. close. But one last thing, Leo, like, I think that, you know, I'd like to just know, like, if there's one thing that you'd like to tell one up and coming, any up and coming director right now who's about to walk into AFTA, who's about to kind of go, I'm just going to go it alone. What's one piece of advice you would ask them to just take with them on that journey? Quick, 30 seconds.
It's going to be difficult to make it.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a lot of things that are going to remind you that it's going to be difficult for you to make it.
Yeah.
And you're probably going to want to give up. And it's going to suck. And it's going to be shit. It really is going to suck.
Yeah.
But if you see it through and you come out on the other side, all those lessons that you'd have learned all the times that you didn't, that it sucked and it was shit and you didn't want to do it, it's going to be totally worth it on the other side.
Boom!
But it's not going to be fucking easy. It sucks. It's shit. Yeah. It's complicated. You're probably destined to fail because of all the systems at play. But if you make it out on the other side, it's better, but it's still not easy.
That's so dope. Boom! Guys, you heard it out here first. I told you guys, T-Man the Headman, education, you know, I'm going to keep giving you the facts. But yeah, man, thanks so much to you, Labor, for coming to hang out,
thanks,
man. It's been a dope hour. Guys, once again, listen to the podcast. Play it for your moms. We didn't swear. We swore.
Sorry to all the moms.
Yeah. Play it for everyone around the studio. And like I say every week, you know, guys, take care of yourselves. Take care of those briefs. And most importantly, take care of each other. It's real, real shitty out there. And it gets rough out there.
Yes. Form a community.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
Form a community of people that you can trust and just realize that they're not out there to like one up you. I think if we can stop literally just realizing that there's enough for us to go around, we will stop like putting each other down. Because the same way people that are in those positions form those communities, we need to think about ourselves in those kind of ways.
And it's like,
we just gotta stop pulling each other down as black people and as women and as, you know, as marginalized people. We're so busy trying to just one each other up. It's like we forget that we're all in the same shit together.
Dope. Guys, it's done. The time is over. Lewis still running his mouth because that's what he does. But the time is up. Like I say every week, if the show was on a Friday, we'd be having a tequila. It's your boy, G-Man the Ad Man. Boom.
This is CliffCentral.com.